So the Gemara says, and this Gemara is quoted in Halacha, in the laws of Tanis, that if one partakes with the congregation of their sorrow, meaning if there's a year of famine, a person can say, I have food, why should I feel bad? Why should I pray? Why should I be sorrowful about the famine? If there's a siege on the city, one can say, well, I have a foreign passport, I can fly out of here any day, why should I worry about it? So Chazal taught us that if one partakes of the sorrow of the congregation and joins them in their prayer and in the things they do to try and alleviate their suffering, then he will merit to rejoice with them when things get better. And one who does not will not. And the Gemara in other places brings us stories about tremendous cities of Torah. The Gemara asks, why were they destroyed? The Gemara says, because when Jerusalem was destroyed, they went on their merry lives as though everything was okay. So if things are going bad for Jews in one place, Jews in another place have to care about it. Now, that's the Gemara you quoted. That's the Gemara you quoted in another Gemara. The question that you asked really pertains to a different question. And that's a more general question, which I don't want to answer halacha, because it's a question that pertains to Pikuach Nefesh, and I'm not big enough to answer questions in Pikuach Nefesh. But I do want to open different aspects of the question that we should be cognizant of. There are certain mitzvot that unfortunately have taken on a political flair. And it's not really to the benefit of the Torah that mitzvot are politicized. There's a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel. That mitzvah has nothing to do with the color kippah you wear. The Gra didn't wear a knitted yarmulke and he wanted to live here. The Neturei Karta, the real Neturei Karta, and you should know there's a game going on. The real Neturei Karta are in hiding because they're so embarrassed of what the people who call themselves Neturei Karta do. There are real Neturei Karta, and they're very, very, very good people. They are not the people who parade around and call themselves Neturei Karta and go and kiss terrorists. Those are not the real Neturei Karta. The real Neturei Karta are the disciples of the Gra, who, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Avram Shapiro's Zatzal was a descendant of them. Because his family goes back to the time of the Gra's students that came up here. Neturei Karta literally means those that watch the city. Those are those that when everyone else backs out because it's tough, they stick around to watch the city. So when we're dealing with the question of a danger, we have to recognize that there's an aspect of mitzvot that has been politicized, and it's a pity that it's been politicized. And I was very surprised that there were signs all around the neighborhood that Rav Benzion Mutzafi, a very Haredi Rav, was going to Sderot to give shiurim this week that were publicized throughout the country. I was happy to see that it's not a question of politics. When we deal with the question of a Jew that's living in an area that he's being shot at, so different rabbis take different approaches. There are rabbis who say, when you can, avoid taking a bus. Buses are dangerous places to be. There are rabbis who say, don't go in areas where it's dangerous. And there are rabbis that have other opinions, as you guys well know if you're learning in Machon Meir. When we discuss the question of a Jew who's living in a home where an Arab is throwing a rock at him, so we're not only discussing the Jew that's living in that home, we're discussing the Jewish people and what will happen when that Jew pulls out of that house. Now, there's a story which I don't know if it's true, but when we discuss this story, we have to recognize that maybe it's true. Maybe this is a point that should also be considered. They say that a guy was living in Jerusalem in the time that Jerusalem was split, and his house was on the border, and the Syrians were shooting at him. So he came to the Chazon Ish, and he said, I want to move. I have kids, and they're shooting at me. And the Chazon Ish said, well, you know, if you move, the border moves with you. That's what they say. I don't know if it's a true story. But they say, in the name of Chazon Ish, again, I don't know if it's true. They say a lot of things, you know. They say that Rabbi Feinstein answered more questions after his death than before his death.
Because after his death, you could quote everything in his name. Before his death, you're a little bit more limited. You're a little bit more constrained. So Chazon Ish is the same way. They quote a lot of things in his name. Who's to know what's for real and what's not? I don't know. I'm not saying you should derive halacha from it. I'm saying there is such a concept that if we have a border and it's being attacked, then when you pull away, that border's coming after you. The people pulled out of Gush Katif. The rockets didn't stop flying. They just came closer. Now, I'm not saying that a Jew is supposed to live in Gush Katif or in Sderot or anything else. I'm not saying, again, I'm not going into the halachic aspect. I'm just saying when you ask the question, you're presenting the question in a manner that says, well, poor guy, he's in a situation where things are falling on his head. Should I join him and have things fall on my head? If you present the question that way, if it's just a guy that happens to live in an area where people are throwing things on his head, he's living in the middle of Harlem, poor Jew, he's living in Harlem, if you're going to join him so they'll throw rocks at you, then you're right, why should he go live in Harlem just to get rocks thrown at you? But we're not talking about Harlem here. We're talking about the land of Israel. So when we pose the question, we have to first recognize that there are other aspects to the question. Now, you'll notice I didn't answer the question because I don't feel qualified to answer the question. This is a very big question. You're talking about a question of pikuach nefesh. Whenever we discuss a question where one's going to risk one's life or when one's going to enter a situation of danger, then the question has to be posed to big, big, big people. But I'm just saying that I don't think it's fair to present the question in the manner which was presented because we're forgetting an important part of the question. So we have to remember that important part of the question is not necessarily a political one. It's a question that exists, and we see it. The mere fact that rockets are falling on Sderot is a result of the fact that people pulled away. So some might say, again, I'm not saying that's a correct thing to say, but some might say that, of course we have to strengthen them, because they're accepting the bullets for us. If they wouldn't be there, the bullets would be one step closer. They can all back out, and then the government will have an easy time to give Sderot away, and then it's just the question of the next city. I mean,
you don't
reach
Tel Aviv, and
then they actually do something about it. Osheken, Oshelo. I mean, I didn't see that they did so much about it when the whole north, you had a million people sitting in Mikletim. I didn't see us do something so successful. Okay. So I'm not sure what's going to move the country. I don't know. I mean, that's a political question. Just saying, when we analyze the question, we have to recognize that there are other aspects to the question, and they have nothing to do with what side of the political spectrum you stand on. There are halachic aspects to the question. And I'm sorry, I'm not answering you more than that. I don't feel qualified. Sorry.